We're speaking with Mark Klempner. He's the author of The Heart Has Reasons, Holocaust Rescuers and Their Stories of Courage. Mark, thanks for staying with us here today on Active Voice Radio. In the illustration of these rescuers, and you were just talking about this sense that they have away from the material towards a sort of broader understanding in life, these people come from a broad range of backgrounds, and some of them were spiritually based, and some of them weren't in these convictions. How do we know what is good to do? How do we get this sense of goodness?
How do we know? Well, for them, it was a tug of the heart. It was something they knew in their hearts, and that's why I called the book The Heart Has Reasons, because if they did a cost-benefit analysis, you know, it didn't make any rational sense for them to do what they did. They put themselves at tremendous risk, and the odds were completely against them. But their heart told them that they had to do it. They just couldn't turn away from people, innocent people, being persecuted right at their doorstep. And I think one of the hopeful things about the book is that in these stories, you see that at a crossroads where ethical action and rational self-interest lay in opposite directions, not everybody chose to look out for themselves. Some people, even though it was a small number, they just felt they had empathy, and they, in spite of the risk, helped their neighbors and helped even strangers who they saw were being mistreated by the Nazis.
Do you think that it's as risky to organize goodness today?
Well, it's getting riskier. You know, one thing I say when I give my speeches is that, I tell that one of the rescuers said he became involved with the sanctuary movement after the war, taking in refugees from Africa who had been persecuted. And he said to me, you know, Mark, it's like a continuation of what we did during World War II, but without the risk. And I thought, wow, this is really swell. Like, I could do that too. We all could do it. And, like, what a great thing to be able to continue the work of the rescuers but not have to worry about, you know, big black boots stomping at your door, kicking in your door, you know, pulling you away into the night, taking you to a concentration camp where you'll never escape. The situation we have today, I mean, we still have a lot of freedom. I mean, here we are having this conversation, and I feel pretty free to say whatever's on my mind. But I am concerned about the curtailment of civil liberties, and considering the way that human beings seem to have of abusing power, I think that, you know, there's certain red flags that are being raised, and the rescuers feel the same way. For instance, with the war in Iraq, they're very upset about it, particularly because the United States was, you know, the great hero of World War II. We really did an incredible thing with winning World War II, and, I mean, we dropped food drops when the Dutch were starving. I mean, they still remember this. They still remember being hungry and having those food drops like manna from heaven come down from the sky, and suddenly there was food, and this was done by the Americans. So they love America, but when they see, you know, America starting an unnecessary war, that gets them upset. And when they, one woman, Clara Dykstra, she said to me, you know, all the wars, they're all about money, money, money. Who's thinking of what's good for the children? Who's thinking about what will help the children? And it's always the children who suffer during the wars. So these people have a strong conscience. And I think today, you know, we're dealing with some of those same old perversions of justice, where power gets into the wrong hands, and you have, you know, people getting arrested with sketchy evidence and being held without recourse to a trial. And this is very upsetting, and I think it, from my time spent with the rescuers, as I said, they activated my activism. And I feel now that, you know, I have to carry it on, and I have to do what I can to keep my own society from going off track.
Especially for these Dutch observers of the Nazi era, Here in America, the profiling of Muslim Americans and Muslim and Middle Eastern men overall, when you read about how at the beginning of the German occupation and the little things they take away, Jews can't ride trains, Jews can't walk on the sunny side of the street, it piles up very quickly. But that was the more early extreme form of profiling. It must be disturbing for some of these rescuers to observe what we're doing out there today.
Well, see, what they told me again and again, they said it's important not to lump people together. It's important to realize that each of us makes his or her own decisions about things, and you can't just look at a group and say, oh, they're all that way or all they're all that way or this way. We have to treat people as individuals. And Mie Pries, who I had a pleasure of talking with, who was a lady who tried to save the Anne Frank family, she told me that Otto Frank would say to her, you know, Miep, even with parents and children, they don't think alike. In a single family, the children might think very different from the parents. So how can we lump people together? So that's why I'm concerned, and the rescuers are concerned about when we start throwing a wide net and saying, oh, certain people, as you say, profiling them as if they're criminals, until proven innocent.
You mentioned in the end of the book that since September 11th, you've heard them speak up. Did September 11th have a different significance for those who witnessed what happened in Nazi Germany?
That's a good question, Chris. Like many people throughout the world, you know, their sympathies were with Americans, and because of their empathy, you know, they're all highly empathic people. So they felt the pain of, you know, what the people in New York must have been going through, the people in the Twin Towers and their families and the firemen. And that same empathy that they felt for the Jews during World War II came to the fore with September 11. But then, like the rest of us who have been paying attention, they saw how something like this can generate a lot of fear. And then when people start clamping down because of fear, it can be, you can go in the absolute opposite direction that you really want to go in terms of restoring peace and justice and harmony. So it's a mixed bag, and I think that they feel that they certainly are concerned about terrorism, and they certainly know what evil is, and they faced it themselves. But they also know that evil isn't something that's just outside yourself, that we are all a mixture of good and evil, and we all have the, you know, capacity for evil as well as good. So I think that they would urge us to scrutinize ourselves as well as, you know, looking outwardly, but we should be careful that we're going along the moral high road, rather than just assuming we are and that, you know, the evil's all out there.
You know, Mark, you talk about this activating your own activism. How can we be rescuers in America right now?
Wow, great question. Well, I think we have to do what the rescuers did, which is we have to look at the situation with eyes open and face it. There was a tendency during World War II for people to say, oh, it can't really be that bad. You know, they're probably just sending the Jews to labor camps, and, you know, it'll be hard work, but they'll be okay. There's a tendency to make the best, put the best face on things. And this is not to say that the rescuers did not engage in positive thinking. They certainly did. In fact, several of them were caught and spent time in concentration camps, and they used positive thinking to get through the camps. In fact, one of them amazed me because even though she was there in the camp with her head shaved, with lice on her body and malnourished, she was still convinced that the Allies would win the war and she would go home and be with her family. But what I'm talking about is you have to be able to see things clearly and not minimize what you see. And I think that to be a rescuer now, we have to have that sense of vigilance, that that we're not immune from all of these things that can go wrong in a society where, you know, societies go from being democratic to fascist. And we have to stand up and really make our voices heard in those areas where we do see our society going in a fascist direction, you know, where people's private lives are being scrutinized, their phones are being tapped and so forth without good reason, where people are being imprisoned without good reason, where people are not being given recourse to a trial, where government is not transparent, all these things. We have to be hip to the propaganda. I mean, this kind of propaganda is used over and over and over, and we have to be able to recognize it when we see it and know it for what it is.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us here today. We're going to have a chance to ask you another question here in a minute, but Mark Klempner, The Heart Has Reasons, Holocaust Rescuers and Their Stories of Courage. More information about the book at www.hearthasreasons.com.